Lady Anna, I have found out a great deal. All of it is, however, disturbing. In my efforts to discover the desired information, I have been warned that this information is perilous to you. I am thoroughly convinced that this is no idle warning. Telling you all I have heard will doom you, whether from action you take, someone you share this information with, or the simple act of knowing it, I cannot say, but it will be your downfall. However, I am ever your loyal servant, so if you command me to tell you, I will tell you all. If you wish, I will tell you what I think you need to know. This, of course, cannot guarantee your safety. Perhaps it will. This option comes with unrequested advice, which cannot be avoided, as I am editing the information to be only what is pertinent to your immediate situation. You are free to discard this advice, but I believe it is the best course of action. I would not deign to tell you what to do, but I think I may have some small insight in this matter. There is a being, a person who is now the Watchmaster. For all intents and purposes, this person is the Watcher. This person is cunning and powerful and should be avoided. You know this person's name, and you should not speak it. Assume this person is one of legends able to change themselves, whether this is true or not, for how they accomplish this is immaterial. This person has power that rivals any priest or wizard I have encountered. This person has the whole of the watch and is clever enough to use them. Eyes everywhere. Their personal prowess is immaterial to the organization they have bent to their will. There is a good chance the current Watchmaster will move on when the crisis passes, so playing nice and biding one's time would be wise. Your siblings disobeyed your orders and sacrificed the previous Watchmaster. I believe playing them was the term here. What they sacrificed to, I only understand in vague terms. Suffice to say, you and I will need to have a discussion about where the shadow in Shadow Court Consortium comes from. As far as our dear friend Kyrian, I will say that the Watchmaster is interested in him, but for what purpose I cannot definitively say. But I would not attempt to hinder or imperil Kyrian. I believe our taciturn friend is politically important in his homeland, but as to any mystical abilities of legend, I see no evidence of this. Kyrian seems to be ethically and morally rigid, naively so. Also, Kyrian is incredibly bad at dissembling, hiding, sneaking, or disguising his intent, aims, or purpose in any way. This does not, to me, say a powerful entity of legend. I believe Kyrian to be a pawn in some game in his homeland. This pawn is protected by the Watchmaster for this purpose. I think we would be wise to steer clear and not interest ourselves in these machinations. I suspect the Watchmaster will leak information about ties that some in our organization have to the Shadow Realm after the current crisis has passed. I believe she will do this because she finds such associations to be distasteful. I believe we need the Watchmaster to succeed in our coming war against the Claudians, so unmasking the Watchmaster as a sorcerer's imposter, arcane trickster, or whatever they are, is ultimately not going to serve our cause. Once this conflict is resolved, I believe the Watchmaster will move on when Kyrian does, to continue whatever political game is being played back home. I believe this to be none of our affair, and nothing that we can profit by. So I believe our aim should be to navigate the war with the Claudians and set ourselves up for best advantage after the fact. So if you wish to make a future in this city, I advise distancing yourself from Kray and Vax and the Shadow Realm. Make yourself the palatable option of the indispensable Shadow Consortium. Be prepared to denounce them yourself, lead forces against them, or otherwise position yourself as the champion against these minions of Eldritch powers. And consider changing the name of the organization. If you can do this, you can possibly hold sole power in the revised consortium, or perhaps be in a position to take the Watcher's organization should the Watchmaster move on to continue whatever political maneuvering she is doing back home. If you maintain your ties with the Shadow Realm, well, their favor will need to be terrible and powerful and prepare for a war against the whole council. It won't take proof, and I don't think I know what proof looks like, but I suspect the Watcher can create a tale that most of the council will believe and generate enough proof to sell enough of the council to get rid of us if she so desires. Also, if the Watcher has control of the entire Watch organization, we should assume that the Watcher can exert influence over some of our purchased assets on the council. We must assume we are no longer the only purveyors of blackmail, payoffs, and less socially acceptable pressures to get our way. Ever your faithful servant, Dorathius.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 24. And we have the band back together for our post-war epilogue. Today, we will be kind of wrapping up, hopefully, this first part of the story. How's everyone doing today?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Good, good. Okay. And I will have a little announcement at the end of the episode about a special addition to this, but I'll leave that for the end.
Let's jump into things.
The North Gate walls are largely in ruin, but still stand. Outside the fields of battle lie a grim testimony to the failed siege of Malshar. Bodies strewn about tell a grisly tale. Priests attend to the wounded en masse to keep any possibility of infection from spreading. Public works people assemble pyres of the infected corpses to burn. As the smoke rises, we move over the city. We flash across the upper half to the university district, where a team of high elves examine the empty pool in the artificial glade that was created to decorate the campus. They regard the scene with puzzled expressions and wonder just how they missed something so strange. We drift up to the council district, where we see the Tower of the Watcher. Standing on the precipice, we see the lone figure of Dahar Vallon. She peers out over the city with an uneasy look. Her next move, for once, is her own. Her obligation to her mistress fulfilled. Few changelings have been this far from Mortel, she thinks. Perhaps she is free. She shakes her head and excises such blasphemous impulses from her mind and awaits direction, her faith in the lady renewed. We now move down into Council Heights to the home of Lady Annabel Royce as she takes her seat and prepares to receive a guest. She clutches a letter in her hand. She stands on a precipice of her own. Events have moved far beyond her control, so decisive action will be taken. She needs the counsel of a trusted agent, one that has been near the center of all this madness. Dorathius. It's been chaos for the last couple days, and information has been scant. But as far as you know, the siege is over, and the city still stands. About a day or so after the siege has been lifted, you receive a missive to meet Lady Annabel at once. So you arrive, and things are in their typical fashion, the two red chairs facing each other. Lady Anna is sitting with a, well, as usual, inscrutable expression. But she is holding the letter that you sent her a few days back. Well, it seems that you made it through this adventure unscathed. Tell me, did you participate in the defense of the city?
I did somewhat. And then I did my best to make sure that the port was entirely secure. And happily, it was. But I did pitch in where I could from a distance.
Excellent.
I don't react well to arrows or zombies, so undercover was the best place to be.
Well, a surprise naval assault from the Claudians is a possibility. They are known to have a strong navy, though it hasn't been seen in these parts, but I would have done something like that while everyone was concentrated on the walls, but it seems that the Claudians weren't as orderly as legend has them believe, or at least once their command structure was routed.
This Claudian legion did not behave the best. Hmm. Certainly not a template for future Claudian legions to emulate, but it's exciting to be back in more comfortable environs for this meeting.
Yes, yes. I thought it appropriate that I give off any pretense that I am uneasy or concerned about my siblings. A lot of things have happened since I got your last missive, which was very enlightening. I was considering your tack of keeping the Watcher at arm's length. But something very interesting happened to me just the other day. Right in the ending hours of the siege, I received a visit from Cray. He came to me concerned, wanted to make sure that I was safe, and that we did not have to worry about our past disagreements, and that he felt the situation with the Watcher was not a consortium problem. So, what do you think of that?
Well, I agree that the situation with the Watcher is not a consortium problem. I'm curious why Cray thinks so, but I do not know your siblings as well as you do, so I will bow to your superior judgment in this matter. But I think we have a potential issue in that I do not think the Shadow in Shadow Consortium, I think, is a problem for the Watcher, and that may... that may not be tenable for either side of this. And as I expressed in my letter, I have a suggestion for that. But as I am not one to know the deeper mysteries of this, I will again have to bow to your judgment in this matter.
Well, You have learned quite a bit. The source of your education is surprising, but I have pieced together enough to know a few things. I am almost certain that I was visited by someone in the guise of my brother. I can't be sure because they were very, very good, but there were certain things that gave me pause. One, Harmon has never visited me at my home, but I think perhaps they knew that. There were odd things about him that seemed almost intentional, that gave me a picture of things. Either way, our organization has had a lot of transitions. When this organization was started, before my time, there were certain pacts made with otherworldly entities. Don't want to bore you with the details, but they, at the time, seemed almost, well, I want to say trivial, but those people involved didn't seem to fear retribution from the plane of shadow. As in their eyes, things worked very differently there, and here on the material plane, we have different concerns. However, over the years, this devotion to these entities has become more troublesome. And my moves to bring the consortium out to the light was perhaps a somewhat misguided attempt to distance ourselves from those forces. I knew that Kray was bound to them, but Karavax, I didn't think she was. I knew they were close, but she is a person of action and not a, she never struck me as anyone who would bow to anyone or sign any kind of pact, but who knows?
Well, dubious circumstances and life-threatening situations can make one agree to any sort of pact, in my experience.
I think in all likelihood, something bad has befallen Kray. There are reports that during the siege, the council district became encircled in some kind of magical darkness. And since the infected Claudians were nowhere near that area, hadn't breached the walls, I did my best to downplay this. But another report that I received was that your associates in Shadyside, who...
Please, my dear friends.
Your dear friends, your boon companions, had been going about the lower half of the city, helping people, fighting monsters, righting wrongs, doing, you know, those things that they seem to be very good at.
Seems exhausting.
And then they made a visit to the council district, which was interesting, considering their seeming guardianship of the lower half, while the rest of the city had abandoned it, kind of matched up with their heroic tendencies. But they headed to the council district, the darkness cleared up, and then they went back down towards the lower half. I need to know what happened. I need to know if my instincts are correct. Harmon Kray has been taken off the board. There are as many opportunities that this brings us than problems. It will not take long before Vax figures this out, if that is the case. And that this person who visited me is a another one of these powerful beings of legend, or perhaps even the same one, which would be my preference. I'd rather have one than two of them. Who knows? But it wouldn't surprise me if Harmon took advantage of the chaos to visit the Watcher and get answers to his questions. He was very, very, very concerned. So I'm going to give you this.
I murdered the previous Watcher. I would be concerned as well. So his concern was wise in a self-preservation sort of way.
Yes. He's been acting uncharacteristically aggressive lately. But I read over your letter, as I said, and I know there are details that you left out to spare me, or perhaps even yourself, certain unpleasantnesses. I'm going to give you this opportunity, Dorathius, to give me any information that I don't already have.
Well, I think you have all the information, or have extrapolated it, and I can't tell you anything I don't think you already know. I will tell you that my dear friends seem like a group of bumbling, do-gooding idiots, but they are surprisingly adept and should not be trifled. I don't imagine you are. Our relationship with them has been very mutually beneficial, but I would not seek to put them on the other side of the board from you. Again, I assume you have surmised this already, but I thought it would be good to say it out loud. Other than that, I think you understand the situation quite clearly.
Yes. You understand that if your friends killed Harmon Kray or were involved in any way in his death, the Shadow Consortium would be forced to answer that. Personally, at the end of the day, thinking of this in a cold and calculated manner and not in an emotional one. Whoever did this did me a huge favor. So there are a couple of different ways to handle this if that is the case. But I think it would be best if you are able to find out the information or not, or if you can glean what happened or even are able to determine without direct answering, as they like to be evasive when they are asked direct questions.
Who would do such a thing?
It would be within their best interest to maybe get out of town for a while till things blow over. And perhaps you should think about that as well.
Oh, and I had just left the port. Well, I can probably make arrangements myself. I can make that happen. No worries.
Very well.
I'd like to see how lovely the rest of the world is, I suppose.
Yes, just don't go too far north, I would imagine.
Yeah, don't...
Oh, God, you don't want to go too far south either.
Yeah, I'm rapidly running out of directions as I orient the map in my mind, but suppose I like a challenge.
I figure you'll think of something, and perhaps you and your friends might be able to keep each other safe on the road or something. But either way, I put you too close to a very bad situation. And for the sake of our association and our friendship, I think it would be best if you were to drop out of the action for a little.
Well, not entirely unexpected. Thank you for thinking of me. Is there any last service I can provide you before I make my way out of the city?
Just finish that glass of wine and tell me that story again of you and that fellow at the port and the, what was it, some kind of game with knives and fingers? I don't know, one always amuses me.
Ah, well, okay. So old Mother Tusk was down there and she bet old Grumble One Eye if he could
and we will drift away from this.
No, I have this all done. We're doing it.
We're gonna move.
It's only 7 hours. It's a good story.
We're gonna swiftly move out of the manor to the lower half in the wooded district of Bale Malshar. A circle of Esau Druids examine a strange green crystal. The Archdruid reaches out and touches the stone. A blue-green glow of energy begins to emanate, and a tear starts to form in the air above the stone. As the tear expands, it forms a jagged circle, and the city of Glassbale becomes visible in it. After a moment, strange green vines begin to creep around the edges of the circle, and then in an instant pull it closed. The stone goes dark, and the Archdruid scratches his chin and regards it with a thoughtful look. Moving out of Bale Malshar, we flash to Shadyside, and a small tavern. We see a sign on the outside, shaped like a church bell with a wide and smiling mouth. This is a talking bell, Shadyside's newest spot. And inside we see our heroes. It is 2 days after the siege. What are you doing?
Probably drinking.
Aye.
I'm probably still polishing my armor. Knocking the dents out. And drinking.
Celebrating, carousing.
Yeah.
Generally being glad that we didn't die.
Okay. Well, now that things are sort of going back to normal again, your tavern is officially opened if you would like it to be.
Absolutely.
All right. So there is a relatively robust crowd of people celebrating with you, enjoying the day. It has been spread throughout the lower district that this, you know, being a safe place during the siege, that this bar is a good place to hide away from any troubles people are having. You do get some information from Ulysses that there seems to be no further sign of the Claudians. Scouts have gone to their camp and found it basically empty. There was definitely signs that a good third of the people who inhabited that camp had left back north in a very rapid fashion. So it seems that pretty much all of those that were not infected bailed on the whole situation. The Public Works and the Defender's Office are in the process of starting to repair the walls. They're in really rough shape. They are still standing. The Temple District has reported that cases of infection in the city are relatively low at this point. But obviously, you know, there are cases still out there and these things are going to happen. But it's far from the epidemic that you could have had that could have really just crushed the city.
Fortunately, people are social distancing. They're wearing masks.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
You had to go there. I was avoiding that. Worth the plague.
Yeah, they're just not getting bitten and scratched by people. If you're with someone and they try to bite or scratch you, get away from them. And is there anything else aside from celebrating and drinking that you've been doing in the last couple days?
Well, I've probably been tending the wounded and sick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, checking in on people around the area, particularly people we know.
Okay. having done that, you find that instances of violence in the city during the siege were, you know, there were some, most of it was tangentially related to it. Like, there were more infected creatures in the sewers than just that one that you saw. And the sewer jacks have found, basically these things were digging up all kinds of tunnels all over the place. Initially, it seemed like they had some kind of direction. And then after a while, they're just like randomly crashing through things. But it definitely seems that everything still points to a tunnel coming east from the west, you know, up into here. And that people coming in after the siege from Malshar are saying that there are places even going as far west as Breadbasket or places out there where there have been like people have been finding weird sinkholes and all kinds of strange things. And the reports from the south are that hostilities between the orcs and the dragonborn are becoming more and more of a concern. Other reports you've been getting are that the strange silver birch forest known as Wenya's Hollow has gone. It's hard to get really reliable news about anything that goes there. You know, it's notoriously known to be a very, very magical place where a lot of strange stuff happens and not a lot of people go in there. But there's reports that the weather around that whole forest, it's a massive forest, has turned unseasonably cold, unseasonably stormy, and that people have been seen coming out of the forest more than before. And the people that they find on the outskirts of the forest are almost all of them are rumored to be insane. But who knows? You haven't heard anything about, you know, zombies coming out of there, but it is very strange. There have been sightings of a dragon around the middle of the continent, circling around this massive swamp known as Emthodkis, which is the home of the very insular kobolds. And there's talk that something weird is going on there. And the wood elves have been very diligently patrolling the outskirts of Talithir. They're being very close-lipped about what they're doing, but there's more and more patrols of their rangers going out in and around the forest. There are some human settlements between here and Malshar, and they've been told in no uncertain terms to be wary in the forest and stay on the roads while roaming there. Not a lot of news out of the Glasswood. They've been at, you know, a state of rebuilding for a while, but you would probably have heard, if you've been going back to Bale Malshar at all, Zika, that there have been more weird fey incursions happening there. They think it has something to do with the weakening of the Nexus, is that there's some kind of weird breakdown between the fey and our world. It seems to be a large part of what the Nexus seemed to do was kind of focus that. There's a lot of weird, sketchy fey stuff popping up all around that area and other places too. For example, there was this fairy door that opened. And Kiernan, since you've come back to the bar, Cub has ignored you when you call him. He hasn't left your side or anything. He's still there. But when you call to him, you know, when you call to Cub, he won't come.
Okay.
And as you guys are sitting around chit-chatting, a familiar face will enter the bar, and you see Grenna Brightflame stepping into the bar. Ah, well, gang's all here, it looks like.
Hi, Grenna.
Kiernan. Good to see you too, Zika.
Grenna.
Oh, and Grell has been conspicuously absent.
I was wondering. Okay.
Just wanted to pop in to make an announcement. The decision has been made that your group is to be honored tonight at the Forge. We humbly ask you to join us tonight for a ceremony to give you the thanks that we feel you deserve.
I'm assuming it would look poorly if we didn't attend.
Yeah, it would be astoundingly rude. I know you're not one for social engagements, Kiernan, but, you know, if you're going to be a hero, you're going to have to get used to this kind of thing.
I was only part serious anyway.
Yeah, no, I know. Razor?
Of course, I will be there, and I imagine everybody else will too.
You know, not everyone. All of us will be. This is kind of a dwarf thing. So, you know, relax. You shouldn't be anyone you have to worry about there. Unless things are still frosty between you and Umir.
I think we're okay right now. You know, it could change any minute, like the weather. But yeah, I think right now we're okay.
I think that should probably continue. So, is there anything you guys need? Anything at all?
You've done so much to help us out already. Thank you.
Can't imagine what we'd need.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk going around that the lower half is only safe because you are here.
Aye, well, perhaps if the council turned its eye toward it.
Yes, that's definitely something I think that will be brought up. But anyway, I'm going to get back and get things ready for tonight. We'll see you at round 7.
Excellent.
All right.
Can't wait.
And it is at this point, after Grenna leaves, that another familiar face darkens your doorway and Dorathius enters.
I just hope it was Grelb.
He only brightens things.
That's true.
Ah, it is the heroes of the lower city.
Dorathius.
Afternoon.
Greetings.
I'm glad you all made it out of the hostilities, all hale and hearty.
And you?
Yes. I find that staying at range is the best way to get that behind a thing. And then only looking up every once in a while to lend a hand, as it were. And then, you know.
So you stayed with the archers?
Something like that, yes. Well, what do you have? And I'll look around. How many people are in here?
There's probably about a dozen or so people in here right now. It's not a huge bar room, but, you know.
I will, all subtle-like, move to an unoccupied area, either by the bar or in a corner somewhere, and just kind of subtly kind of wave everybody over. Less subtle than I normally would because, you know, Audrin's here. But, you know, just kind of...
We were probably occupying the tables already.
All right. If it's sufficiently far away from other people, I'll do that. Otherwise, I will go into the faraway corner and be like, hey, why don't you come over here? And if I have to, I'll look at a stain on the ground. Well, what's this over here? The owners of this bar are really going to want to fix this loose board over here. Come look at this.
We will nonchalantly get up from our table and go over to that table, like it's a perfectly normal thing to do.
All right. No one seems to notice you doing that, except probably Ulyss. Even though he is serving someone a drink, he notices everything.
Oh, yes. It's much nicer over here.
Yeah, it is. No. Shut up for a second. Look, in the friendliest possible way, it's come to my attention that some people in the consortium, of which I have a small but waning interest in, think you might be mixed up into something that happened to Mr. Cray. Now, don't say anything. I'm just going to talk.
You do a lot of that.
Yeah, it's one of my great features. Also, be quiet. I'm talking. So some of these people think that you had something to do with that. And if they do, this could cause problems for you. So, as a friendly gesture, I would suggest that if you might want to take a small trip away from town, this would be a good time to do that. I'm not sure how many people actually care about the disappearance or removal or bloody end or whatever it might have been of Mr. Cray. In fact, I'm sure quite a few people are excited about it. However, honor does demand a certain reaction, and some people are a little more hardline than others. So, when should we leave? Also, I'm coming with you.
Oh,
delightful.
Should we get a boat, or should we leave on the road? I have traveling gear all set. You just give me the word. Anyway, just a friendly reminder. I'll see you in a couple hours. You want to leave in the morning? You want to leave tonight under the cover of darkness?
Probably leave tonight. We're going to leave.
We have somewhere else we need to be first.
Yes, obviously, but maybe later.
I suspect there is time for you to deal with any dangling threads. I just wouldn't tarry.
Mm. Wow, that was concise. Thank you.
Almost too much, so.
One would say that was fairly scrutable. Uncharacteristic.
It's probably not a problem. I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, dear.
You have something you need to attend to. I should pack, as it were, and maybe change to more suitable traveling gear. Do you need a cart of any kind, or shall I procure pack animals? We could probably disassemble the bar and take it. It's not the sturdiest construction, but I presume you're going to leave it here.
Aye.
And it is at this point where Grail the Gargantuan appears on the scene.
Yay!
The first thing you notice about Grail is that you don't really notice him at first. He doesn't really blow into the bar like he usually does. He is wearing a hood, trying to look inconspicuous, but he still has a giant greatsword coming out of his cloak and is, you know, is Grell. He eyeballs Ulyss, Ulysses gives him like a very knowing look back, and he kind of cranes his head in your direction. Then he spins around and he sees all you guys. Then in the corner, he sees Dorathius, and then he immediately looks like he's going to panic, which is weird.
Hmm. I'll walk over to him.
Yeah.
And I will try to give him like the official sign of, no, it's cool. I'm not here for you. Whatever that might be.
All right. So Kiernan, you come up to him.
I'll just put my hand on his shoulder.
What is he doing here? Why is he here? Does he know?
Know what?
What? What do you think? The thing we did. The thing we did.
He knows a lot. Come on. It's fine. You should probably hear this, though.
Oh, God. All right. And Grelb comes over, and then he pulls his cloak off and then resumes his Grelbness, kind of like that whole thing where he turned into a panicked little boy just never happened. He grabs a chair and sits down on it and I'm like, Dorinthium? Derek?
Derek.
So close. It's Dorathius, but...
Yeah, it was something fancy.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well met, Grelb. I was just telling your friends here in what I thought was a very concise and thoughtful way, considering the potential time issue. But I'll say it again, because apparently that's what we're doing. As I think you may have surmised, there are elements within a certain organization that think you might be involved with the disappearance removal.
We weren't. We had nothing to do with that.
Of course. But they think you were.
We were nowhere near the council district.
Exactly. That's why so many people saw you there, and it's very strange. You're not very subtle.
Anybody want a sandwich? I think I'll go make a sandwich.
Yes. Anyway, it's just that some people think this might be the case, and it might be time to maybe perambulate outside of the city for a set amount of time to let, shall we say, the heat die down. And I was just suggesting this to my dear friends and boon companions, of which I, of course, consider you as well, Grelb, even though you and I have not spent too much time together.
And then a barbell rings. Last call. We're going to be closing early today. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I will pull out some alcohol that I have secreted on my person and pour myself a drink for that and go, well, I don't want to miss last call. And I will sip at that.
And yeah, it's when you notice, I don't think you've ever seen the serpent folk who's tending bar.
Yeah, there's a serpent folk.
There's a serpent folk tending bar.
Yeah.
And it seems incredibly prescient.
Okay.
So they clear out after a few minutes. People are very confused. We have a private party here. Sorry, it was very last minute, very to pull together. They threw a lot of gold at us. What can I say? We're still a small business struggling to survive. Yes, have a nice day. Here, take one for the road. And he starts handing people little wooden mugs. Get out. And once they get out, Ulysses sidles over to the table. I felt that it perhaps... If things got any more weird over here, the drunks were going to start to notice.
Well handled, my friend.
Yes.
And I'll look around like, what's weird?
And Ulysses goes back and starts cleaning up the place.
Well, I know I joked about the bar, but you should definitely take him with you. He seems useful.
He is, quite. Grelb, how do you feel about all this?
I think that we should probably all get out of here. I don't want to burn my Malshar credit, though. I mean, this is the biggest city in the world, and I'm in an industry that requires audiences. So if I could never come back to Malshar again, I might have to join an army or something, which I really don't want to do because I don't like being told what to do.
Understandable.
Our boon companion neglected to tell you the best part. He's joining us.
Well, that's like way too many people. You can't have this many people on the road. It's you draw attention to yourself.
No. We'll look like a merchant caravan. I've got a cart all set up.
Look, do they know? He looks over at Dorathy's. Do they know I was there?
Details are sketchy and out of character. I don't think Grelb was mentioned. It was just friends.
He was not mentioned. So, whoever she's getting her information from would probably have noticed a very large goblin, but at the same time, who knows?
I think safety probably means you should assume that you were spotted and could be connected since you have a connection to this group. I suspect there are changes afoot in said organization, so I do not think your leave-taking of the city would be a permanent situation, but at least for the near future, I think it would be wise.
Okay, there's this big tournament that's going on in Breadbasket at the end of the month. I normally don't like tossing halflings around, but they'll usually come at me like four at a time. I don't know, people like it. It seems kind of degrading, but money's decent. I don't know.
I think a showman such as yourself could make that work very well. I think you throwing halflings around could be quite entertaining.
And Ulysses will come over to the table now. I have an idea.
Please share.
I'm assuming in your absence, you will not be closing the bar.
I was hoping not to, but...
That way we've got someone such as yourself who might be happy to have a source of income.
Well, I was thinking, I took the foresight of hiring some people, a couple of bar staff and security, but I'm not 100% sure of this security person that I've hired, but they might need some training. And then he looks over to Grub. Perhaps so it's not seen that you are all leaving town at once. Perhaps, Grelb, you could stay behind for a week or so, and then we could put some coin in your pocket and send you off to Breadbasket. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to leave you guys undefended on the road.
We can handle it.
We are quite defenseless.
We've got Dorathius here now. We'll be fine.
Great, great. If you get in any poetry contests, you'll be no problem.
We'll do the best. I should tell you the story of the time I played the knife game on the docks. We don't have time for that. We'll do that on the road.
Alyssa and I, we'll handle everything here. We'll keep the place running smooth for you. We're off, and then I'll head out to Breadbasket, spend some time out there tossing halflings, and then when the heat dies down, I'll come back here, and, you know, there'll always be a place for you here in the bar that you own.
That's kind of you.
Yeah. Well, I would ask you where you're going, but it's probably a good idea that I not know. And I have a feeling you probably don't know anyway. So I'm going to take care of some things. And then he just kind of wanders upstairs.
Oh, that seemed to work out.
Well, I think I know something I need Grenna to get me.
What's that?
A war pony.
All right. I'm assuming you take the time to prepare for this event tonight. And as of right now, do you have any ideas of, you know, when you want to leave and where you might be going?
Oh, okay. First of all, are the gates open 24 hours? So can you leave in the middle of the night?
The gates are open.
There is some, like, you know, damage to the walls and stuff like that. I feel like it'd probably be pretty easy to find a place to slip out if they were locked.
Plus, that's the North Gate. It's not even the one you came in through. There's a bunch of different gates all over town that you can get out of. You came in through the West Gate. There are always guards there. More often than not, they're going to be bugged by guards that's on the way in. Right. If you're leaving, in your experience, there's not a lot of fuss made. But you guys are becoming known, and more of the guard recognize you. That was actually West Gate where you helped the guard. So guards in West Gate know you, but you're certainly not going to be a problem. Left things in a fairly favorable way. You kind of save their bacon. You know,
we could always make it out the tunnels, too.
Yeah, we also have several ways to disguise ourselves.
Yes.
I have a cloak.
I said several ways. You have two cloaks.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, fair enough.
I put this cloak on now. No one can tell it's me.
All right. Who is that cloaked man?
All right, so we're going to jump ahead to tonight. And the three of you are honored at a special event at the Forge. So when you show up, the place is decked out in a dwarven celebratory way, more or less, which would, you know, probably consist of more lights burning and people wearing, you know, their full armor. And it almost kind of looks like you're getting ready for a battle, but they're also a little drunk. So
I imagine there's a pretty good percussion section.
Yes.
There's a lot of banging on things.
There's a lot of drumming, and how would you describe the music that the dwarves would have?
Probably rhythmic chanting and banging.
Okay. yeah, a lot of
heavy
that.
Metal? I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of that. As you go in, you are directed down actually into the forge itself, which is a weird place to have a dinner, but I believe the forges are down below. So what does the main forge look like? I don't know if we've really described what it looks like. I know we talked about where it is.
No, we haven't really. Well, it's probably this huge room with lots of different anvils and stuff. There'll be like something in the center where the master smith can oversee everybody looking around and making sure that they're doing stuff. And the superiors will wander around overseeing people's work and making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to. And it kind of probably fans out in a circular manner from that center raised dais. It's probably blackened quite a bit, you know, the stone, just because of all the smoke and stuff that's been in there over the years. But it's well-maintained and everything else. And on that dais, there's probably a place for the forge master to do his ceremonies and stuff when it's warranted to be in the actual forge.
All right. So when you arrive, you are greeted by Brenna, and you will notice the dwarves of the temple are all arrayed in like a circle around the room. It is a festive atmosphere, but then it gets very kind of ceremonial looking. And you see Umar standing at the dais when you walk in. Once you're all in, you're standing opposite him, and then it gets quiet. Thank you all for joining us here. On behalf of the Temple of Malshar, we wanted to show our thanks to all the work you have done. You three have come in and taken direction in a very dangerous time. There are many things going on in the city that we would not have been aware of without your work. And though there were some misunderstandings in the beginning, I would like to think that these were all necessary steps to be taken in reforging the covenant that the dwarves have with this world as protectors and as protectors of the city. Our edge had become somewhat dull, and events here has seen us transform from a complacent group of average citygoers and back into an army again. And I would like to thank you all for that. And in particular, Acolyte Blastmaster, if you would. He motions you to the dais.
All right, I'll come forward.
I've given a lot of thought to your next step along the path of the smith. Most of the acolytes who come here become defenders of the forge, become the makers and the doers, the creators and the guardians. I thought very much about bestowing upon you the next rank, but I believe I'm going to go a slightly different way. On behalf of the Forge Temple of Malshar and the Forge of Ayamara, I prefer to you the rank of smith. This will give you leave to go out amongst the world and act as an agent against the chaos, a knight who will protect this world wherever they see fit. Gribe the emblem he's having put on your armor.
Okay. You'll see a silhouette of a burly dwarf with a hammer in one hand and like his hand down on the anvil holding what looks to be some weapon. It's probably not big enough to really tell. The hand's about to come back and strike the weapon that's resting on the anvil.
The emblem is brought out red hot. It's at this point that you notice, and you probably noticed him when you walked in because he's kind of hard not to notice. Standing on the other side of the dais, like right at the forge, you see Marduk Brighthammer, who the rest of you have never seen before. He is a massive dwarf with crazy, crazy like white hair just kind of going all over the place. And his eyes glow in this whitish, bluish, weird that no other dwarf seems to have. And he is the one who has crafted this emblem. And he pulls it out. Basically, it's red hot. And he just jams it on the breastplate of your armor. You're waiting to feel like intense pain as this 2000 degrees thing is like jammed onto your metal armor. But almost instantly, the glow just kind of spreads out from the emblem and around your armor and then just kind of recedes back into it. And then it is cooled and affixed to your armor with like, you feel nothing, whatever the magical effect of affixing this emblem. And you are now a smith. And that basically means you are a wandering knight. You're no longer bound to this temple. And once that emblem is affixed to you, all the dwarves cheer. And then Umir once again stands at the center of the dais and says, "All right, enough of that. We're dwarves, so we got a drink." And another cheer goes out and the festivities really kick into gear. And Grenna comes over to you as everything kind of collapses into chaos. Oh, so the pony's out back.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that would be excellent.
Feel like Razor got that rank in the same way that Simon Pegg's character in Hot Fuzz got sent out to the countryside because he's making them all look bad.
Well, yeah, that's another way to look at it, I suppose. You know, everything happens for a reason.
Well, thank you. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die.
One apocalypse down. The next one should be coming around the corner any minute now.
Absolutely.
And all throughout the celebration, Kiernan, Cub is still acting weird.
Okay.
He is kind of just moping in a corner. Occasionally a dwarf goes over and approaches him like you approach any other dog. And he doesn't look happy, or, he gives him a little bit of a growl. And then sometimes he just turns away or walks away. And his disposition seems to be a little bit glum.
When it seems appropriate, I will go mope in the corner with him and try to communicate with him.
Okay, you do that. You are now able to speak with Cup.
What's wrong, buddy?
I don't know. What do you think is wrong?
I don't know. You seem unhappy.
What did I do? Did I not fight hard enough? I protected you. I killed the last of those wolves. Am I still just a cub?
I remember everything that you did, and no, you're not.
Then why do you call me Cub?
I guess I was waiting for you.
The alpha doesn't wait for the beta. The alpha is the alpha.
Right. Forgot pack mentality. Well, I guess we should figure out a name for you then,
Yes, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
I will. I will soon.
Okay.
I make you happy?
Yes. He seems a little bit happier, but he's, you know, you get the impression that once he has that name, he'll probably be his old self again. Probably a little bit better, but he definitely has that sullen teenager kind of vibe to him right now.
That's what I felt too, yeah.
You're learning the harsh truth of the Beastmaster is, you know, you're the boss. So you party the night away, and what's your next move?
Well, I know that if nothing else, Kieran and I have a lot to do before we leave. We have to stand up and walk out the door, and it's just a whole thing. So.
Exactly. So many people to say goodbye to.
Yeah.
Razor will say goodbye to Grenna.
Ordrim, I think we're probably not going to be seeing each other for a while.
Yes, that is. I will miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss you too. So, Umir's been meeting with the Temple Master the last day or two. I guess she's talking about going back to Talir Fear for what she's calling the next step, whatever that is. So, Umir might get his wish, though. He's kind of going about it in a little different way now. He's actually like, I don't know, talking with her, learning about the job more than just, you know, sitting at a table. And he said that if he gets the call, I will be the new Forge Master.
Well, is that something that excites you?
Yeah, actually.
Like then congratulations!
And you share an embrace, and she once again, in front of all here assembled, plants a big one on you, and everyone can see it.
He doesn't seem quite as uncomfortable as he did the first time.
Yeah. She implies that, you know, maybe before you blast out of town that, you know, you guys should spend some time together.
Fade to black, got it.
Yeah, fade to black, and then we'll look. So, you get the idea that Razor's probably not going back to the bar right away when everything starts to wind down. But as festivities, you know, kind of draw to a close, most dwarves are heading back to their quarters, or some of them are just literally laying on the floor of the forge, just passed out. So Zika and Kiernan, what's your plan?
We're leaving, right? As soon as we can.
Right. I mean, for right now, it looks like for the night, perhaps Razor is going to be
people are busy.
Yeah. So.
I suppose I'll swing by to see Tahar.
Oh, okay. So you're going to go up to the, okay. Yeah, not a problem.
If I can locate Tahar.
You can. I will say that you've established at this point a way to get messages back and forth to each other.
Okay.
So she agrees to meet you at, actually she will meet you at the place where you met, is what she says. And Zika, what are you doing?
I'm probably generally trying to avoid other Esog for now, because I'm probably not going to tell people that I'm leaving, although
what I am going to do
is I'm going to kind of uncharacteristic maybe, but I am going to leave a note for my friend, for Huna. Was it Huna or Sagi?
Huna and Sagi are both still there.
Oh yeah, so I will leave a note for them, not face to face, but it will just say, I didn't get eaten by zombie Dwargar.
Okay. Where do you leave that note?
I don't know, I'll kind of maybe slip it under the door of one of their holes or something like that.
Okay, so you're just kind of slipping into Bale Malshar?
Yeah, just long enough to drop that off.
Okay, so you dip into Bale Malshar, you're very stealthy, you know no one's seen you, it's very late at night, and you zip down to Sagi's warren and leave her a note. You could go like to Huna's tree, but Huna's usually up there with multiple other Esog, so Sagi's warren, and plus Huna gets real antsy. Sagi's a lot more cool about shit. And as you get up out of the warren and make your way out, you run smack into the Archdruid, who is standing there in the dark with a little light off from his staff, like glowing off like a branch that's just kind of very, very slightly shining a light on his face so you can see who it is.
Oh, good evening, Your Eminence.
I see. Trying to sneak out of town.
Oh, who told you that?
I know someone continuing their walk when I see them. Don't worry. Don't worry. I won't let anyone know that you're going. I wanted to show you something.
Oh?
That's all right. Don't worry. And he reaches out and taps you on your shoulder, and you both become invisible.
Oh.
And then you follow him as he leads you back to the center of Bale Malshar, that circle that the Archdruid runs his circle out of, and then he takes you down into a warren that is kind of hidden. You didn't really see it at first, but he moves some shrubbery out of the way, and there's this hidden warren. He comes down, and as you go down into the warren, it comes to a very, very small circular chamber, and there are trees, little like small, roundish, shrub trees that are all arrayed in like a circle around it. It looks like they're kind of recent growth, but they're fully grown. You know, which is something a druid can do with enough power. You just kind of make this kind of stuff happen. And there's a stump in the center of the room. And on the stump is this fist-sized green crystal that you've never seen before. It's very, a very strange thing. Well, I just wanted you to know that this right here, this is where the trouble was coming from.
This here?
It's a fey stone. It's an ancient piece of the fey world itself.
Oh, my.
I don't know how it got in the bottom of that pond, but that seemed to be the cause of the disturbance. We basically had to empty the pond to get it out. Luckily, the elves were really preoccupied with the whole defending the city thing. I understand they're very, very confused about why their pond suddenly has no water in it.
They'll get over it. They've only got millennia.
Right. I mean, they'll figure it out eventually, but they're not going to come here. That's for sure. But this fey stone has the ability to open a fairy door, and it can take you, well, very possibly anywhere you'd like to go. However, the door it opens is open for a very short time, and once it closed, it appears that, from what I could tell, it won't open again to the same place. I mean, at least within 48 hours, because that's all I've had it in. So I opened one door to Glass Bale, and I couldn't get back to it. But if yourself, and whoever you bring with you, feel the need to go anywhere in particular, this can get you there. But it is a fey artifact, so it might not necessarily take the most direct route. The last person that we sent through to somewhere wound up relatively near where they were supposed to go, but not exactly where they thought they were going to go. Luckily, it wasn't very far. We didn't have to wait long. Like I said, it is a fey artifact, so can be very unpredictable.
Are you offering for me to use this?
I have a suspicion that you and your friends might need to get on for a little while. Don't ask me how. I don't know. I have dreams and visions, all that sort of shite. But this one was a little frightening.
Less frightening than using a fey artifact.
Well, yeah,
Very interesting. Well, you surmise correctly. I shouldn't be surprised that the Archdruid knows things that most other folks don't know. But we have something of a plan in place, but perhaps the plan could be altered a bit. Certainly hard to follow.
Well, if you have a secret place, I can bring it to you and I could use it there. I should be able to use it wherever it is, but this artifact, it wants to open doors from a secret place or a hidden place. Once again, feelings. But I can meet you wherever you want, and we can send you wherever you want to go.
Well, I'm convinced. I'll share this with my companions.
All right. Where should I meet you? So you know that you have a secret room under the talking bell. So
yeah, there's a whole secret fighting ring under there. That was what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. So I figured as much, but yeah. All right. He will meet you very early in the morning at the talking bell. Well, whenever you want him to. He doesn't have to be early in the morning, but whatever works, you know.
An hour before dawn.
An hour before dawn? Great. All right. All right. I'll catch a little bit of a nip before I come out there. I'll be there an hour before the dawn.
I appreciate that. I'm honored and humbled to have met you at all, but to have curried this sort of favor is, I like to think I've done my mother proud.
Safe journey. And he will go back into his hut, and you go back on your way home.
All right.
Kiernan, I believe you're going to go meet with Tahar.
I am.
And she told you to meet at the place where you met. Do you remember where that is?
I do. It was, wasn't it like a brothel house that was sort of half burned down now?
Yeah, it was the apartment of a sex worker in Shadyside, and it's literally a couple blocks away from the Talking Bell.
Right.
And the last time you were there, you found out that Public Works had shut down the building, so you're not sure what state the building is in, but you go over there, and it is pretty late at night.
I'll probably go in disguise, just pretty basic, you know, unidentifiable.
So like random person you've seen around.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go a couple blocks, and there's a lot more people out than you had seen, you know, right before the siege. It feels like even in this short amount of time, like people are feeling safer going out, and people from other districts who usually go out to Shadyside for, you know, the kind of stuff they can't get at home.
Yeah.
You know, like exotic seafood or something. They're starting to come back out again and be more visible. So you make your way over to the place where you originally found the dead body of the real Durvin Thane.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget. Now you can see from the outside that the apartment building is still pretty singed up.
Okay.
And there is a hastily written sign tacked to the door that says, "Condemned by the Office of Public Works." Mm. It's not locked or anything, so there's really nothing stopping you from opening the door.
I'll take a quick glance around, make sure nobody's watching, and I'm actually going to go in, if I can find maybe a window that's broken, try to find a way that is the most inconspicuous way to get in, I guess.
Okay, well, you've spent some time in the building. I'm not going to roll anything. Your passive perception is good enough to know that you are alone, but the windows on the first floor are all boarded up. You do see that the second floor windows are not. You can make your way up there just fine. There's lots of stuff around the building. So you climb up into the second story of the building and you come to the bedroom of the woman who previously owned this apartment, and it is ransacked. Pretty much anything of value has been taken and everything else has just been like flung around the floor. It still smells pretty bad in here. The closet that she was stuffed into is just kind of hanging open. And inside it, there's a pretty gnarly stain where the body was. But it is empty. The stairwell seems to be intact. The fire wasn't very big, and you guys put it out pretty quickly, so it didn't really spread that badly, but it is pretty singed up.
Yeah.
So you make your way down the stairs and into the somewhat singed front room of the place. It is pitch black in that room. The windows are all boarded up, so there's no light. And as you make your way down, are you doing anything to give yourself any light?
It's super pitch black.
Once you get down the stairs, it's like totally dark down there. It's pretty late at night and the windows are all boarded up.
I'll just light a match. I've got some things on me. So just a match is all.
Sure. So you light up a match. And and I forgot to ask, is Cub with you?
I think I would probably have left Cub behind.
All right. Yeah. Until he gets that name, I think he's just going to be a little bit sullen.
Right.
So you light a match and you look around, and at first you don't really see anything. The furniture is all turned over. The kind of nice easy chair that Tahar was sitting on is ripped apart and burned.
Mm-hmm.
You do one pass around the room with your match from left to right and then back again. And on the second pass, where there was nothing, now you see a figure standing there. And it is the figure. of Harmon Cray.
I will probably flinch initially and then realize that I'm sure it's Tahar and just give her a look.
And then you hear in Tahar's voice, "Oh, come on. You can't begrudge me a little fun after all we've been through."
Very amusing.
And then she shifts back into herself. "I'm relieved that you appear to be in good shape, considering all that has befallen you."
I can honestly say the same of you.
She still looks pretty weak. Mm-hmm. She is exhausted and lost almost all of her strength, but it looks like she's recovered at least some of it.
Right.
I can't help but think that things are a little different between us now.
Yes, I think they've evolved over time.
It is the nature of our kind. We must fight against the things we become, lest they become us.
Yes, I would agree.
When you take another's identity, you almost unconsciously leech a little bit of them into yourself. It happens more when you take someone's life before taking their identity.
Well, it certainly doesn't help when our personalities are beaten out of us initially.
Well, I can't speak for that. But I did not kill this Drow, the Watcher. I only caught a brief glimpse of them. The way they died. Well, it was enough to make an imprint on me.
I wish we could have done something to prevent that.
But there's no way you could have known. I did not know what the ramifications of this would be.
Will you continue this ruse, or will you move on?
I'm not entirely sure. I have not received any further direct communication from the lady. I mean, it was just that one time. But I've not received any direct communication from anyone else. I've received no messages from your mother. The last message I sent to her was that you were here in Malshar and giving her my opinions that you were most certainly not acting as Christay's agent in whatever revolution he's planning.
Perhaps she's decided I'm not worth her time anymore.
Perhaps. I feel that it is only your connection to Christay that she fears. And that leaves me with a very difficult decision, but you did save my life. I was within seconds of death. If I could have gotten to Cray, I could have ended him a lot quicker than your little dwarf friend. Cray was very, very canny to use his connection to the shadow to keep me occupied. I didn't get that much of a chance to observe him during my time with the Shadow Consortium prior to your arrival. But he didn't strike me as the person who normally makes such rash decisions.
Yes, I think he was forced into it, hopefully by our hand.
Yes, I think a combination of your moves and Lady Anna's machinations and the inconvenient timing of the siege.
Yes.
But that is all history now. I, or rather Harmon Cray, paid a visit to Lady Anna after our little scuffle.
Really?
Yes. I went to her home, and I, as Cray, told her that the Watcher situation had been taken care of, and that she has nothing to fear from this new Watcher, whoever they may be.
Did she believe you?
She believed the heart of the message, and I also think she knew who she was talking to, on some level.
She is quite keen.
Yes. I believe she will do the right thing. Though things seem to be somewhat less dire, the Shadow Consortium, if they learn of your involvement in this affair, regardless of how Lady Anna feels and the tremendous favor you have done for her, there will have to be some kind of retribution. So a swift exit from the city would not be a bad idea.
Yes. I'm used to running, so it's nothing new.
Then I will stay here until either I am directed to be elsewhere or I am sure that you are safe.
Thank you. I suppose this is goodbye for now, then.
Yes, I suppose. But as I said before, you did save my life, so I do owe you a piece of information, though I feel it will be of little comfort to you. It may, however, provide an explanation to events that have befallen you. You need to know something about the relationship between your mother and Christay.
Tell me.
Christay is your father. Your true father. I know not what lies your mother has told you in the past, if she told you anything.
She told me very little.
I suppose she thought if you found out on your own that it might mean you could be of some value to her. Your mother is a horrible person.
Oh, I know. All too well.
Your father is, of course, not much better, though he is a complicated and conflicted...
manipulated, horrible person.
Yes, that as well. In our society, a general in the Dan Sabah is the highest level of achievement that a male changeling can aspire to.
Yes.
In Christae's case, however, that did not appear to be enough.
It's not surprising, knowing him.
I have been away from Mortel for months, and after you are settled, wherever you wind up, I will likely return there. What message would you like me to bring to your mother? I could tell her you are dead.
Tell her I am dead, in a way. I'm not the person I was, nor will I ever be the person she wants me to be.
I will tell her you have succumbed to your new identity, and that the light of the lady no longer exists in you, so she has nothing to fear.
That seems very accurate. Thank you.
This face you wear now, is it based on any specific person?
I suppose it's a blend of some people I've known, some people I've met, and maybe the person I aspired.
I found nothing wrong with your true face, but I am getting used to this one. It seems to have served you well. Well, it is getting late, and I must return to my place and you to yours. Perhaps our paths will cross again. Hopefully I'm not directed to kill you or any of your friends.
I hope that as well, since I feel like I may even call you a type of friend at this point.
Well, let's not be insane. I don't know. If things were different, perhaps we could have been friends.
Yes.
I have never... And then she just stops talking. Well, I mustn't tarry. Who will feed the ravens?
I wish you well.
As do I you. Safe journeys. Kiernan Locke.
Goodbye to Harvalon.
And she vanishes.
I will take a moment to gather myself, look around the room, and I will leave the same way I came in.
So we will jump ahead to just before dawn. Zika, do you let people know?
Oh, yeah, I guess they probably want some kind of warning before going.
Or at the very least to meet, you know, an hour before dawn in the secret
room.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, that too.
Okay. And you send word to Dorathius as well?
I guess.
By the way, it's way funnier if you don't. if it's just like a note on the bar, like, oh, hey, meet us down here an hour before dawn, and he shows up an hour after dawn. Just so you know.
I imagine you've let them know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no expectation that they will, but I totally have.
It is more obscenely early than it has been the other times. It seems to be, whenever you deal with these people, it's earlier and earlier in the morning.
Ah, oh, they're the worst. Okay. Well, I have cleverly got a cart and spread word that I've hired on the heroes of Malshar to guard this cart. Not me, some other merchant guy that I've made up. And he's all gonna leave, and the heroes of Malshar are good things, and just to circulate around to cover the fact that we've all disappeared. And it's all for naught, really, but that's okay.
Yep. Cool.
So I show up in my cart and this nag and a bunch of empty crates, so it looks like I've got stuff. I mean, gross traveling clothes, I'm not happy about it. And it's just like, God, it's so early. Where is everyone?
Right, so you arrive at the Talking Bell, and Zika is waiting for you.
I'll be the last one to show up.
Probably, yeah.
Well, we can use that, all that bit of stuff, but I've also got another strategy for leaving the city.
What's that?
All ears. The mule doesn't smell very good, so whatever you've come up with is fine with me.
We can leave the mule. We could, if we know where we're going, we could travel through a Fedor.
Really?
Aye.
That's new.
Well, actually, it's been around since the dawn of existence, but it's new to us.
Drathus will just be staring up and to the right, like he's trying to look back into his own skull and quietly meditating, having a conversation with himself. Who can say, really?
It would be a lot more instantaneous, a lot harder for someone to follow. We wouldn't have to sneak past any guards, and we'd wind up close to where we want to go.
Sounds like an exceptional way to travel.
Close to where we want to go?
Aye. I do not elaborate on that.
Where do we want to go?
So, Dorathius, from within your head, your familiar voice.
You should totally do this. This is a great idea.
You can't tell if he's being sarcastic or not, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem.
And at this point, a small Isog shows up. He's carrying a staff that has a lot of different plants growing out of it. He pulls down his hood, and he's a very old Isog that most of you have never seen before, except for Zika. Well, all these folk then, right?
Aye.
That mule and that cart, can you get it to your secret place?
Doubtful. I don't think they're coming with us.
Yeah, no, I think that's a contribution to the tavern here, if they have use for a mule and a cart. Don't order the soup here for a while.
I say it could be a food truck. Grow the brand.
I do have a pony outside, kind of want to take with me.
Okay, so there's actually another entrance that goes down below, kind of outside. Mm-hmm. So you could even theoretically get the mule and cart in there if you wanted to. So it is possible. It's just that you don't know how long the door stays open. The implication was that the door closes when it feels like closing. If you all move very fast, we might be able to get the whole lot of you through there. That mule and the cart might be pushing it. You might get the mule or the cart, or like half of the cart or half of the mule.
I'd rather get half the cart rather than half the mule.
I think it's okay if the mule stays here. The mule, as I said, does not smell great. I don't think half a mule is going to smell better. So I don't think we need a mule. And I'm sure Grelb can find some use for it.
Well, if we don't need the mule, we don't need the cart.
If the dwarf rides the pony into the gate, then he should be fine. Ponies are relatively fast. Right. And the rest of y'all want to move very quickly. Okay, so where is your secret place? Some of you go down into the trap door and then go out and open the back secret door. You go all around the outside of the bar to a place that's in an alleyway or some other thing. It's a big empty space where that fighting pit and the secret bar. And,
you can almost smell the charred orc still in the air.
The big burn spot in the floor. I'm sure somebody's cleaned it up. But it's still a big black char mark there. All right, so I'm going to need you all to be ready. He takes out this size green stone and then pulls a chair over and then sets it on the chair. All right, so what's going to happen is once it starts working, you're going to see a hole in the air. And it should open wide enough for y'all to go through, but it moves very, very quickly, and it closes in a very, very disturbing fashion. So I will need a trailblazer to think of where they want to go, and once the ritual is complete, they need to touch the stone, and that'll open the door. And here we are.
All right.
So you got to think about where you want to go.
Well, this comes out of nowhere.
I don't think it does. I told you a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't railroad you into everything. Need to railroad me into what I need to prep next.
Anyone have any votes?
There's some weird stuff going up at Wanya's Hollow.
I've never seen the magical glade of silver.
Yeah, I don't think I'll like it, but...
That sounds like the worst place. So what other options do we have?
Then let's go there.
Does a swamp full of kobolds being flown over by a dragon sound more pleasant?
Not especially.
It's not like another city under siege by zombies we could go to?
Fresh out.
Well, out of the city, some distance is all that I require at this time. So you are the great heroes. You choose.
Has anyone ever been to Wenyas Hollow?
Can't say that I have.
No.
Well, they say that... one of them places you go in and you don't come out of, but when you come out of, they're changed.
Maybe that's good.
Thinking more for the purpose of visualizing it.
Well, you don't have to have been there. You just have to go to a place that you know exists. You should probably go to a place that you know exists. You could probably think of places that don't exist, and it will probably send you somewhere. It is Fae. Not like our kind of Fae, like... You know, the other kind of fae. And these Wenya, they're like another kind of fae. There's a lot of different kinds of fae, is what I'm saying. Aye. But what I know of the Wenya is that the Wenya are very good, as we think of good in our very, limited view of the world. They're protectors of the earth and their people. They're not known to truck with any evil powers, but, if something's going on there, it might be worth trying to check out. And he looks at the three of you and says... You all are good people. And then he looks over at Dorathy and goes, you, I don't know, but good luck.
I will do the best.
Thank you.
At imagining what I think Wenya's Hollow looks like.
And as you do that, the voice in the back of Dorathea's head says,
"Don't worry, where we're going, we won't need luck."
So the ritual begins. The archdruid begins to chant and put his hands on the stone, and he kind of goes back into a trance for a minute, and then lets out a huge belch, and then goes, "Ooh, sorry about that." "Yep, okay, here it is. That's a sweet spot right there. Zika, come on.
All right.
Quickly, quickly, is everyone ready?"
"Aye."
"All right, be ready to go. Make sure you're carrying all your things. Don't leave anything behind. If you leave it behind, it's behind. All right, let's go." And then you place your hand on the crystal and think about the Silver Birch Forest of Wenya's Hollow, and I will need you to give me a charisma roll.
Okay.
That's right. I'm having you roll dice.
This dice rolling also comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. Weird. Dungeons and Dragons and dice? What are you kidding me?
Let's see. Charisma? That's not wisdom, so...
Nope.
So that's a 6.
Okay. No problem. So for a minute, it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. It's just real quiet. You wait like 3 or 4 seconds, and all of a sudden you see this little mote of green light in the air, like 6 feet or so off the ground above the stone. And then the mote begins to very rapidly, literally like pull the air of the room apart. And as it forms, you see these impossible silver birch trees, this field of these white trees with these bright reddish leaves as far as the eye can see. And it becomes about 8 foot by 8 foot, just solid like a doorway. "Come on now, get!" And I will want everyone to make me a dexterity roll, please. Or acrobatics, or whatever you can sell me on, to move as fast as you can.
Oh.
Okay. Tell me what you're rolling and what you got.
I rolled dexterity, and I got 7.
Okay.
I rolled acrobatics, and I got 6.
Okay.
All right. I rolled animal handling, and I got 8.
Okay.
We're doing great.
Yes.
I rolled acrobatics, and I got a 9.
Hell is
and
happening?
I will salute everyone as we go in and say, "Well, see you wherever."
All right. So this is what happens. 7. Once the door opens, you realize it's like, okay, we know to run as fast as we can and move as fast as we can through it, but we didn't really come up with a plan of like who was going to move when or who was going to be first. So you all just kind of make a run at the same time, and you literally crash into each other in the center of the gate. The good news is you all get into the circle, and as you all in this big kind of pretzel of people running into each other, you suddenly see these vines shoot out from the forest that it looks like you're running into and whip past you to the doorway and pull it closed. None of you are on your feet when this happens. You're all like in mid-dash, or the pony's jumping through, and Adrathius is trying to tumble through. And as you do, everything goes black. And then for what seems like either a few seconds or an eternity, there is nothing. And then snap, you wake up in free fall, and not really wake up, but like next thing you do is you're looking up and you see sky and you're falling. The bad news is you're falling. The good news is you're falling like about 2 feet.
Okay.
So you get that feeling like, oh my God, and then blam, you're all on the ground. The pony stays on its feet, but it's very unsteady. I didn't have you roll for Cub, but Cub went with you. It's fine. Actually, I roll an acrobatics for Cub. Let me see how he did. He might have gotten through first.
He didn't do much better. Worse than we did.
I know. Oh my gosh, that was way better. Holy crap. That's a 24.
It's perfect. Once you hit the ground, you see Cub just kind of saunters over, just head down at Kiernan, and says, "Is now a good time?"
I think so, yes.
And his tongue is lolling out, and you can see the laughter on his face.
And you all hear him say in speech, "Is now a good time?"
Whoa!
And you notice 2 other things. One, you notice that you are in a field. You don't see any silver birch trees really anywhere. And Dorathius is gone.
Uh-oh.
And as you are reorienting yourself, describe the gentleman who just happens upon them in this field, Scott.
All right. There's a gentleman there who is stepping away from a pile of something that maybe have formerly been a living person. And he's holding stuff. Like, he's got a nice pair of gloves that maybe that person was wearing and a very meager pouch. And he's kind of looking at an old short sword to see if it's anything worthwhile. He's dirty, but he's very handsome. So, like, if two or three baths and, like, combing his beard out a little bit and cleaning his clothes, and he would be, like, hero out of the tales. But he is just covered in road grime and then some road grime from before this road grime. And he is wearing, like, mismatched armor. And he has a knightly sigil over his left breast of a shattered or a broken lance, like a lance that's broken in two, surrounded by laurels that looks very official. And that is actually fairly clean, and it's kind of like bronzy, and that kind of catches the light. But the rest of him is very dirty. His tabard is over this kind of mismatched armor, is kind of grubby. And he's clearly just finished looting this corpse for the more perceptive among you. And he will kind of come and process this thing as, hey, a second ago there was nobody here and now there's like three people and a pony here. And he will kind of look up, and he's got like a sword on his back and a bow thing, and then like another weapon on his belt, like a rapier or something like that. He kind of stops and looks over, and he's like, well met, are you in need of assistance?
And that's where we will leave you.
All right.
I bet you thought Dorathius was coming with you.
I bet Dorathius thought he was coming with us.
Yeah.
But he did right up until the end there.
Yeah.
then he kind of was like, oh, yeah, I know how this goes. Yeah.
Oh, Dorathius? Oh, don't worry about Dorathius. He'll be fine. And at this point, I would like to welcome Scott officially as a member of our party.
Woo-hoo.
With his new character, we will learn more about when we meet you again and find out where the hell you wound up. Yes, Scott, welcome to the party. There's no turning back now.
All right. Thank you. I will try to live up to the horrible guest star that I was.
All right. And for the rest of you, we will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
You can follow Architects of Entropy on Facebook. You can also email us at entropypod@gmail.com. That's entropypod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.